I've been walking a tightrope between fact and fiction. Been wrestling with demons in small bottled prisons. Been talking to sinners who claim to be Christian, but shouting at leaders who claim to be listening. And the pendulum swings, but I can't stop the pull. Our elections are travesties paid for in full by a gang full of sellouts who worship a bull. Why can't it all just be free?
Hi again, everyone. Christina Tovin here, and welcome to another podcast on the Free and Equal Network. Today's guest is a very interesting man who we've been waiting, and we've been wanting, that is, to have on our show for several months now. And Richard Gage, welcome. Welcome to our show.
Thank you, Christina. It's great to be here. And thanks for having the courage to put this information on the air to your listeners.
You know, you're the founder of the Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, and, you know, we're here about opening up the network and the media to everyone and really inspiring that intellectual dialogue and letting people decipher on their own the things that they believe in, the things they don't believe in, or just take it all in and learn. So thank you for your time and coming on
the
show
today. You're
welcome. So you're very friendly, nice. I've researched you, your interviews, down to earth, and the way you present the knowledge that you have on 9/11, the truth, and it just I just want to go right into what you stand for, why it is you do what you do, and just let our listeners know who aren't familiar with you yet, Richard Gage.
Thank you. Well, I've been an architect for 26 years. And 6 years ago, I was just shocked to hear on the radio, actually from a free speech radio station, KPFA in Berkeley here, that David Ray Griffin, a researcher of 9/11 for many years, was laying out the evidence, which I had never heard from the American Institute of Architects, of which I'm a member, and or from NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology. There is evidence of the explosive controlled demolition of the three high-rises on 9/11. And what's really interesting is most architects know nothing about the third high-rise. So we just got back this weekend from Denver, where 14,000 architects gathered, and we had a booth, and we presented this evidence to them one by one with 12 of our volunteers. And then we had a presentation. And after that presentation, only one of them agreed still with the official story, which says that jet planes and fires brought down the Twin Towers and normal office fires brought down this third skyscraper. So I want to tell your listeners about it, because not only do most architects and engineers know nothing about the third worst structural failure in modern history, but indeed most Americans don't either. And this is important, because here's a 47-story skyscraper, a football field in length away from the Twin Towers, North Tower. It's not hit by an airplane. And yet, about 7 hours after the Twin Towers came down, this building drops like a rock, straight down, uniformly, symmetrically, and at free fall acceleration, right into its own footprint, just about. So this building is compared on our video, which can be seen, by the way, on our website, which is ae911truth.org.
I'm on it right now. What a fantastic website.
AE911truth.org. You can see the building coming down right there before your eyes, and we compare it in our DVD, which is called 9/11 Explosive Evidence, Experts Speak Out. That can be seen on the website as well. And here it is compared to a controlled demolition. It looks exactly like one. And normal office fires are blamed, though. And normal office fires have never brought down a skyscraper ever before or after 9/11. It just does not happen. These steel frames are massive and they're protected with fireproofing. So we've been deceived by the official building reports from NIST and from FEMA and from institutions like the American Institute of Architects. So this building not only drops in the exact manner of a classic controlled demolition, but there is evidence of incendiaries found in the rubble pile, incendiaries like thermite, which is used by the military to cut through steel like a hot knife through butter. Melted steel in the few beams that were saved from World Trade Center 7 is very well documented in the May 2002 FEMA Building Performance Assessment Report. In Appendix C, they actually show these girders, which look like Swiss cheese. They talk about an extremely hot temperature corrosion with sulfur. Well, sulfur is added to thermite. It becomes thermate. It's much more effective at cutting through steel. One of the authors described the ends of these beams as being partially evaporated. Now, that takes 4,000 degree temperatures. And the fires in this building could not have been over 400 or 500 degrees, maybe 1,000 degrees under the absolute best conditions. But the problem is that the melting point of steel is above 2,800 degrees, more than three or four times the temperature of these fires. And these pools of molten iron are found by first responders, structural engineers, and others at the site, cleanup workers, underneath not only Building 7, but the Twin Towers as well. And when we turn our attention to the Twin Towers, after showing people the evidence for this third skyscraper, and it is even more disturbing because the videos show something very different in the Twin Towers. They show in the first 4 seconds, for instance, in the North Tower, this 12-story block of building above the point of jet plane impacts, about an hour after the plane hits the building and the fires are burned out and the kerosene or jet fuel is burned up. What we're told is that upper 12 stories drives the rest of the building down to the ground due to structural weakening at the point of jet plane impacts from the fires, mostly. But what we see is something very different. That upper 12-story section is destroying itself in the first 4 seconds, very similar, actually, to Building 7 that we just talked about. After that, there's nothing left to drive the building down to the ground at any speed, and yet it is completely destroyed, one structural member from another, separated and blown out laterally 60 miles an hour in every direction, landing 600 feet away. There is no stack of floors, for instance, found at the base of either of these twin towers. 110 floors, each an acre in size, with metal decking underneath all that concrete and those floors, and it is completely pulverized. In fact, in midair, you can see massive pyroclastic-like clouds of pulverized concrete and very, very hot smoke evidenced by the thick cauliflower-shaped smoke clouds with the thick, solid edge in the exact manner of explosions due to the chemical reactions from the massive heat produced. Because these fires were going out, by the way, when these towers, particularly in the South Tower, when they went down. Where is all this heat coming from? Well, that heat is found, again, in molten iron pools at the base of the Twin Towers as well. It's found in evidence of molten iron droplets throughout all the World Trade Center dust, which is very well documented by the USGS and R.J. Lee, an environmental consulting firm. They say this dust is not even World Trade Center dust unless it has these iron microspheres in it. They comprise up to 6% of some of these samples, billions and billions of elemental iron microspheres. Not molten steel. Where does all that iron come from? 10 tons of it. Well, it is the byproduct of thermite, because thermite's made of iron and aluminum. Iron, oxidized iron, basically rust, and aluminum particles. Well, it produces molten iron as its byproduct. So how do they get into spheres? Well, under explosive conditions, this molten iron byproduct would be dispersed, and a dispersed liquid molten iron in this case, forms itself into spheres just like water out of a spray bottle or when you sneeze. The surface tension forms itself into spheres about the size of diameter of human hair. And not only do officials find all this molten iron, which is they can't explain from river to river in this blanket of pulverized concrete 4 inches thick, but a small team of scientists led by Niels Harrit in Copenhagen find in this dust also 4 independently collected samples. They all contain the same red-gray chips. The red side is composed of what? Iron and oxidized iron and aluminum. And those at an extremely small size, particle size, which is like at the nano scale, 1,000 times smaller than the diameter of a human hair. These particles are engineered from the atomic scale up inside these red-gray chips. They are the ingredients of thermite, and they are a very, very sophisticated form of thermite, which is only made in the most advanced defense contracting laboratories. And this was researched by Los Alamos and Lawrence Livermore Lab before 9/11.
I feel like I'm in a college course right now with a professor. I mean, everything you say is so logical, and I, really kind of wanted to address, let's say, the government. The logic behind this was in fact involved with 9/11. What do you think would be their reasoning for being engaged in such a disastrous, incident, harming so many people? Why would our government be a part of that?
Well, very, very important questions here. First of all, we have so much evidence that leads to some sort of an inside operation. We, as architects and engineers, are not criminal investigators. We don't point the fingers at the government or anybody else because we need a real investigation that gets to the heart of the matter.
Fair
But
enough.
we do have the evidence. And a new investigation is called forth, but we do not have the willpower from Congress, whom we have given our DVD and our petition with 1,000 signatures to, demanding a real investigation.
You mean Congress that is controlled, the two-party system, which is controlled by the monetary Federal Reserve, which is tied to the elite. You mean that those individuals, right? I mean.
Well, yes, and to the extent that the American people still have faith in their elected representatives, we do need to pursue that path of justice, along with, of course, going straight to the people, becoming the media ourselves, waking them up to the realities about them, which is a slow process, as I'm sure you have discovered in your specifically focused work. It is an uphill climb here.
I've learned from the electoral standpoint, I was optimistic in the sense of, well, I can fix these ballot access laws. Let's introduce some bills to, make better ballot access, less signatures to get on the ballot, or a flat filing fee in lieu of gathering signatures, or an or factor. But I learned, the two-party system itself, they benefit from a flawed electoral system. They want ballot access barriers to have a reason to keep good choice off the ballot. And so I recognized that, it was time to build a movement bigger than our government. And, I was speaking with you briefly before the interview, my dad bought me a couple books. My dad, Jim Tobin, he runs Taxpayers United of America. He's been fighting taxes for 35 years. He bought this book for me, I think for my birthday many years ago, called The Real Lincoln, DiLorenzo's book. I hope to interview him someday. And, a new look at Abraham Lincoln, his agenda, and an unnecessary war. And Dad also had me read Day of Deceit, The Truth About FDR and Pearl Harbor, a book by Robert Stennett. And I'm just kind of putting this all together. And of course, we had the horrific tragedy of the Boston Marathon recently, and hearing through supporters that simultaneously the JFK files were destroyed at the same time the Boston Marathon happened. And I had to look it up, and it's there, online. It's legit, but the mainstream media didn't cover it. So it just I recognize you're an architect, but anything's possible. I want to focus on how we can fix things, from a national standpoint, and keep, not good things from happening over and over again. Whether or not our government was involved, it's to yet be determined.
Yep, I completely agree. And that's why this September we are taking the petition, which we will have 2,000 architects and engineers demanding a real investigation. That again goes to Congress, along with our latest DVD, where all this evidence is spelled out by 43 technical experts, including high-rise architects, structural engineers, metallurgists, chemists, physicists, controlled demolition experts, etc. This is an extraordinary piece that played on a local PBS affiliate in Colorado,
Wow.
on PBS television, and now we have six other stations set to air it in September, and it did last September become the most watched and most shared video on the national PBS.org site. That's half of our September push. This coming anniversary of September 11th. The other
And
part of it,
where can people find that? Is that on ae911truth.org?
yes, there
Okay.
is a large
Listeners, go
banner
check it
there.
out. Learn about this stuff. And listeners listening to this, I urge, it's knowledge is power. And so yeah, check out that at ae911truth.org.
So we're determined this September to place a major ads in an advertising campaign called Rethink 9/11. And I'm encouraging everybody to help us do this. We've already raised over $100,000, and this campaign will put ads in metro bus stations and BART stations and billboards throughout the country and around the world in 11 major cities during the month of September. So we're building up to that. So that's at rethink911.org, and people can support that campaign there in a city where you are or near you.
Well, great. I definitely urge our listeners to learn more about Richard Gage. Again, you can go to ae911truth.org. And what was the other domain you just mentioned again?
That's rethink911.org, which highlights World Trade Center 7, the third tower that fell on 9/11. You can see the ad at that website, rethink911.org. In fact, there's a 50-foot-tall billboard slated for downtown New York in the heart of Times Square, which is $44,000 of our budget. So for a whole month, Building 7 will be waking up New Yorkers.
Yeah, it just that's good to hear. And like I said, waking up is waking the nation is really key. And I feel in the movement of what we're doing here at Free and Equal and building others and the network and so on, we really want to inspire. I feel that our last and our only chance here now is to have a surge of independents, individuals running for local office beginning in 2014. And really replacing Democrats and Republicans alike, I do see parties fading away over time. And I do see that our government, with the power of social media and technology, will be able to shine a light on which candidates are good through a national election database or whatnot. And so, in any case, I do feel that integrity will rise within our government, and that will result in our government shifting back to the origins of the Constitution. And, technology will advance. And my hope is that incidents like whether it's 9/11 for sure, Boston Marathon, other things that just all this negativity needs to go. Life is so short. We're only here for so many decades. And it just goes so quick. And I want to thank you, Richard, for really standing apart from the rest and devoting your life. It seems like every day, and what it is that you're very passionate about, being an architect, and you have just an amazing Wikipedia. How long have you been an architect again?
14,
26
26 years.
26 years. I mean, that says a lot right there. And I guess I want to wrap up the interview, but the last question I have is a little bit more of a personal one. I mean, what was it that made you realize that you wanted to play a significant role for seemingly the rest of your life to get the truth out there about 9/11? What moment did you decide that this is what you wanted to do? At what moment that
Well,
is?
I had no choice. At 6 years ago, maybe seven now, when I realized that not only were the towers destroyed on purpose by somebody, I realized that that meant 9/11 was completely different than what we were sold. We were sold a myth. The truth is that it was a magic show designed in part to invade two countries, to manipulate the American people, to invade Afghanistan and Iraq, and to take over the resources there, basically, and obtain regional hegemony in the Middle East, which was a stated goal on the website Project for a New American Century, and our civil liberties have been stripped away and continue to be since 9/11.
What are
In
your thoughts? What are your thoughts on the two-party system, Richard?
I think it is real clear that we can't get the attention of either party on this issue, and that they seem to be controlled by powers that seem to be tied more to the perpetrators of 9/11 than responsible to the American people. So they're turning a blind eye, for instance, to whistleblowers like Ted Snowden, who are trying to point out that, hey, people, your rights are being taken and your government officials are doing absolutely nothing about it other than calling this patriot a terrorist of sorts. I have no faith anymore. I used to be a Reagan Republican when I learned about this on the right. It's been a very painful awakening to realize that we have no representation on the left or the right, that these are corporate interests that seem to have infiltrated and govern our elected representatives. It's a bad situation. Your work is absolutely critical in this respect.
Well, thank you so much. And I really thank you for your time today. I do feel that the two-party system has been intentionally dividing us for centuries. And it's a game back and forth. And they have tools like the Commission on Presidential Debates, run by the former chair of the Democratic and Republican Party. I've just seen within so many presidential campaigns from Ralph Nader, Gary Johnson, I mean, you name it, Jill Stein, of what they do to keep, just good candidates. It's out of the debates, and it's really a tool. And as well as the Federal Reserve, I mean, that's a scary thing. Created private institution, 1913. As I told you, I just interviewed G. Edward Griffin of The Creature of Jekyll Island. It just everything ties to a few people at the top elite that more money, and it's just tied to the oil, the gas, the monetary, the debates, all these tools. And it's just a vicious cycle of from oil to gas and technology being intentionally suppressed, held back, and we're just we've got to break, and we will break that cycle. History's on our side. And Richard, I thank you so much for your time. If you had anything else, any final thoughts for our listeners, website, whatever plugs, please go ahead.
Thank you, because it's extremely important that everybody who hears the truth about 9/11, as well as the issue of the so-called two-party system, it has to be active. This is a time when America is calling forth her true patriots, which are people who will go out and talk to other people about these issues. Get informed. Look at the website, ae911truth.org. Realize that if we were deceived about it from the media, from our elected representatives, etc., then we have to take it upon ourselves to become the media and sound the alarm, because our country is heading straight down into the wrong direction. And it's going to take all of us to stand up and get some spine and speak out.
Well, thank you, Richard, so much for your time, everybody. Please, again, be sure to check out the website ae911truth.org. Thanks again, Richard, so much for your time
Thanks.
Today.
Thanks so much, Kristen.
And you're listening to the Free and Equal Network. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening. Until next time, love you all.